Hello, everybody. This is Miss Parker from RV Project Help. And I want to give you some background information and some information about rates and payouts and a bunch of words that you guys have heard a lot of the time and you may not know what it actually means. I want you to know that this is for entertainment only. This is nothing I should say, should you act on. This is strictly for entertainment. I am not a financial advisor, none of that stuff. I'm just talking about what I understand, and I may be completely wrong. So I'm just putting this advisement out that this is just for entertainment only. I don't want to be held responsible for what I say. I believe I have the most updated information possible, but I could be wrong. So just with that emotion, let's get going. So. In the past 5 years with this RV, I've been asked a lot of questions, and I've seen a lot of people ask questions, and I've dug a ton of research, and so I have a document that is 37 pages long. And it is basically the total RV GCR document, everything I have looked up and believe is correct or true. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about Tier 4. And so first of all, I need to figure out where that is. And so forgive me. So I want to talk about why Tier 4 is better. And after I talk about why Tier 4 is better, then I'm going to explain you how to leverage what you're doing. Or this is what I'm going to do. You're welcome to follow me, okay? Or not. Or you can say, you know, Parker, you're full of hell. Let's just go straight to hell, okay? Either way, I don't care. But anyway, I believe 4 tier B is the best place to be in, okay? I have to also acknowledge that they're what we are being told as levels, tier 1, 2, 3, 4, 4A and 4B, may or may not be correctly understood. And frankly, they don't matter at all. All that matters is that there are levels and there are a sequence of exchangers from people that exchanged first and the people to exchange last. I don't know what their names are. Those of us in the outside world before the RV happens, we've given them a name, tier 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I notice that every once in a while, myself included, okay, I suck, I complain or I just get frustrated. I think, what the heck? Have we been left behind? Have we been forgotten? Why did all these other levels going to go in front of us and we're still waiting? Well, the reason why we're still waiting or why we are going to be the end of the exchange is because we are the big deal. Quite frankly, we are the biggest players in this exchange situation. And it's what we do that is going to affect all humanity. We are in the perfect place for the exchange in my not so humble just a nice way for saying Parker's a bitch. My not so humble opinion in these sequence of exchanges. Those who went before us, the SKRs that happened years ago, they got not just a low rate, but a screaming low rate. And they also got SKRs as well, which means that they don't have the money yet. And importantly, those that go after us, that's the regular, everyday Johnny walking around public, they're not going to get any more than basic on-screen exchange rate. If you don't know how to leverage those rates, you need help. And that's what this audio is, to give you some kind of tickle information so it'll help you when you get in there and you're actually doing the job, okay? So what does this mean? When you compare those who exchange before us in the exchange rate and those that exchange after us, we are the, I believe still that we are the perfect place in line in the sequence of exchanges. You see, we are the golden ticket holders. When we go, not only will we get the highest rates, but since it'll be only after the GCR officially starts, our money will also be immediately accessible. Of course, our window of calling the 800 numbers and going to the special offsite redemption centers or whatever they're going to, sorry, I got hiccups, whatever they're going to call them is very short, just a few days at most, maybe 10. And when our, quote, window closes, unquote, then everybody else who has not yet exchanged will turn back into ordinary public exchanges, OPE. OPE, go see me, OPE. That's the only way I can remember the words. Ordinary public exchanges. So even if you were tier 4B and you don't go in during the high rate of exchange, after that window closed, it doesn't mean you're kicked out. It means you go into the ordinary public exchange and you'll be at the end of the sequence with the rest of the exchangers in the world. So I urge you, don't complain. Don't be frustrated. And I know I suck because I'm not taking that advice for myself, but you should consider it, okay? Those big whales that exchanged back in the days of family and friends, I have whales. I know whales that are in that. And let me tell you what, folks, they got very, very low rates. And they still don't have spendable cash, okay? A person right now that has 100,000 TZIM will have more money than all of the whales put together. Because ladies and gentlemen, what no one is telling you is the SKR for those whale rates are fractions of a penny per ZIM. Fractions of a penny. The reason why I started doing these tally sheets with 0.5 zeros in a number is because I was copying what I knew to be the SKR rates. I knew what they were. I have somebody that is a whale that told me, and I can't tell you who that is because they violated their NDA by telling me. But the information was so shocking because if we get one-to-one parity on 100 TZIM, that's more money than a whole, one of these whole Admirals groups, just one 100 TZIM. They don't tell us that. So there's a lot of people that, ooh, I want to be an Admirals group. I want to be an Admirals group. And I'm sitting here laughing my butt off going, no, you don't. Because they're not going to tell you the rates until after you sign in your money. And then you're stuck. So the friend that I have that is a whale, that literally turned in enough currency to fit in the entire backseat of his Buick, when he did the rate of exchange with the SKR that he has, he bought two 100 TZIMs and will make more money if they go one-to-one parity or if they go 70 cents to one is what we're expecting after the, you know, fees and stuff are paid off of it. He'll make more money on two of the 100 trillion ZIMs than he would be the entire backseat of car money that he turned in 30 years ago. That's the little ugly secret that none of these admirals are telling you. And I believe that is the little ugly secret that none of these admirals are aware of. So he got involved with one of the groups. I started talking to him and this came out and I was stunned. So there have been groups that their paymasters have already been funded and the money is sitting in the accounts. The paymasters can see it, but they can do nothing with it. The rates are extremely, extremely, extremely low and they still don't have any spendable money. So would you rather have gotten in with a T1, T2 tier and be in that same position Or would you rather be in tier four? You got a belly full of money and you're just waiting for the change to happen. Would you rather exchange it then? Not me. And you shouldn't be either. So don't feel any kind of way. Don't feel any kind of nothing when you hear about tier one, tier two, tier three going before you. Because we are the big deal. We are the golden ticket. So where does that leave you? Where does that leave us? Well, if you didn't exchange at the low friends and family rate with unspendable SKRs, and you didn't want to exchange with the big groups and their even lower rates with no spendable cash yet, then you must be one of us. You must be wanting to exchange with the golden group, the T4 group. And while a lot of people call us the internet group, I don't do that. I just call us the golden group. Many of the people on my channel have never heard me use this term because I don't think it's a common way to think, and I really don't put this forward. I spent a lot of time thinking and designing and inventing stuff, so maybe the golden group isn't the right word, but I know that the internet group definitely isn't the right word because it's confusing to those who take the word group to be like other groups because we are not. We are all individual people. So maybe we should be the internet people who will get to exchange at PNRs, which are privately negotiated rates, also known as sovereign rates. And we're going to be able to get this rate at the exchange centers, redemption centers. So all this talk about T1, T2, T3, T4, it all comes down to three time frames. Okay? Those before us. Us and those after us. So, those before us, let's talk about those. Those before us go before the GCR is officially public. And this window has been ongoing for years. Simply put, they are people who have been able to exchange in some way, in some group or some level before the GCR has been officially public. Okay? They got lower rates, they got non-spendable SKRs, and their notice for their exchange comes through private communication with the groups itself. The next group is us. We are just after the GCR has been made public. And our window, just a few days at the most. And we will, if you know how to do it, get the highest rates possible. And we will also have immediate spendable cash. Our notice is given by email and internet posting. Those after us. After the GCR is announced to the world, that window is forevermore. It will be the normal, traditional way to exchange currency. And those after us will get the quote regular exchange rate on the Forex on any public place that exchanges currency. There's no time limit. There's no special high rates. There's no special exchange locations. And notice is going to be given by public address on national and international TV and news services. Those will be the public announcements. Those after us will be the first time the world knows what is even going on. The bottom line. Nobody is getting a better deal. Nobody is getting a better exchange than you. Those of you in tier four, the exchange. What good is it to exchange early for less money when you don't even have access to it anyway? So be patient. Wait until our quote window opens up and we get the highest rates available. We get immediate access to your cash. There are no better options than ours in tier four. So don't get worried. Don't get frustrated that you haven't exchanged and when you hear others exchanging before you, because you literally are the best place in the exchange sequence. So put your head up, folks. Put your shoulders back. Walk with pride. We are the golden ticket. Quite frankly, between you, me, and the rock, I kind of feel sorry for those who joined a group or exchanged early just because they were panicky or they wanted to get locked into a rate so they are secure, secure, secure. That is a frustrating situation if there ever is one. Because when they find out what happened to us, if they ever do, they are gonna find out they're screwed completely. The reason why, one of the reasons why the NDAs we are gonna sign, people think it's just so that people don't find out our rates that we got to exchange with. Most people assume that the NDAs are so the public don't find out how much we got. That's not what it is. The biggest reason we're signing NDA is so that those who went in front of us, those before us, never actually find out they got screwed. The NDAs keep the people who exchanged before us and who will exchange after us from finding out the real golden tickets we actually got. Makes kind of a lot of sense to me, and it's kind of a kind thing to do the NDAs, because I don't know about you, but I'd freak the hell out if I found out I got millions of dollars less than what the group that just exchanged in front of me. So, in our time, the exchange sequence is very near. So, take this to heart. And realize Tier 4B is the best. And may you get everything you want and live the life of your dreams. And may you become the humanitarian that God is expecting you to be. So, how do we do this? How do we negotiate these kind of rates? Well, first thing I'm going to talk to you about is rate structures, okay? And once you understand the rate structure, then you'll be able to implement it, okay? So you have to remember that your agreed rate with the bank will depend on your negotiating skills. Yeah. There are things that you are not aware of unless you get into an internet group that talks about these kind of things. The stuff that you hear with Shelton, he is an internet group that is teaching this exact same thing. He's getting paid a tremendous amount of money to do it. I'm not being paid jack shit, nothing. The reason why I do it is because I hope I don't offend any of you. But you are now part of my evil plan by teaching you how to get the most and how to ask for it in a way that they will give it to you. You are helping me destroy the deep state. Because if we can take over all the humanitarian projects, we're actually going to use them to serve humanity. We're actually going to use them to help kids and adults and people worldwide instead of eating kids. Okay? So I hope you enjoy becoming my tools. And I hope you listen and take to heart what I'm about to say, because this will help you a lot. I urge you to believe nothing of what I'm saying. Write down what I'm saying and go do the research yourself. Look up what I'm telling you. Double check for yourself so that you own this information. You're not just listening to me give it to you, but you actually own it. Go find out what I'm telling you, because you're going to find out it's correct. So here we go. There's four rate structures, okay? Four. There is Now, let me say this before I start. When I started this file, I did my best guess, okay? And I started this, the first time I did this program was March 23rd, 2021. And so I know for a fact that the numbers I had, or I assumed I had back then, will probably not be correct by the time we get the actual new rate. So this is just an example, okay? So, what are the rates? There's the international public rate, okay? These are lower rates that are international in-country rates where the currency originates. So dinar originally declared at a rate of $3.71, and they said Iraq could support a $16 dinar. Now, this international rate can change at any time. Screen rates are currently showing that should currently show when this goes live is anywhere from $2 to $16. That would be the public walk-in rate, okay? The next one is called the market rate. The market rate is also called a bank or a screen rate. Some use the term street rate, but don't use that term. Drop that from your vocabulary. The market rate is the rate people, oh my good Lord, Maggie just dropped a gas bomb in here. Hold on a minute. Oh my God, little dog. Oh, your butt is toxic. Oh my God. Oh Lordy, I gotta get the fan on in here. Holy Toledo, Max. Holy Toledo. You are foul. Foul. Oh my God, turn the fan on. Holy Toledo. Come here. You have to go outside. Your butt needs to be aired out, little dog. Oh my good Lord. Oh my God, I have to open the back door and open the front door to make a wind tunnel. Oh my God, you could make the flowers in the garden pass out, Max. That's some serious stench, little dog. Holy Toledo. God bless America. I need to vaporize my nose. Oh, snap, that was bad. Oh God, it's still bad. Here, smell coffee. Oh, whoo. Oh my God, little dog. My eyes are watering, Mags. Oh, snap. Oh. Oh God, this stinks. Oh, jeez. Come on, wind, blow. Oh my God, and it's just still as hell outside. Oh my God. Oh, finally starting to dissipate some. Oh, jeez, oh, Pete's. Forgive me, folks. Oh, Lordy. The little dog is bad. Oh, where was I at? Oh, market rate, market rate. Okay. Oh, God bless America. My eyes are watering. I can't even focus. Oh, snap. Whew. Okay, market rate. Jeez. Okay, don't call it a street rate. Drop that from your vocabulary. Yeah, I already said that. This is the rate that people see when they go into the bank, okay? And at that time, we understood that involvement with China and the USA involvement with the war in Iraq will affect these market rates, okay? Market rates are higher than con international rates, and the word contract rate is also used. Contract rate is also international. So you can call it international rate or contract rate, market rate, or bank screen rate, okay? I don't know why the hell they do this to us. They give us different names for the same damn thing, okay? So now the other one. The other one is called a sovereign rate, okay? This will not be offered to you. If you don't know the exact sentences to say, you will not get a sovereign rate, and they will pretend like they don't even know what you're talking about. Okay, sovereign rate is very, very specific. You will not be offered it. It's something you have to ask for, and you have to know exactly how to ask for it. The last rate is called the privately negotiable rate. Okay, this rate is, we've been told, is going to be applied to the ZIM as long as you have an NDA. However, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle room. It may also be offered to the other four top currencies in this first basket. This is your opportunity to get the rate that you like, okay? The sovereign rate is the highest. It's above the privately negotiated rate. We used to call a private negotiated rate we used to call a sovereign rate a privately negotiated rate, but they had to split it because with the ZIM, there was this extra little wiggle wiggle that they are going to offer us if you know how to ask, okay? So we used to use the term sovereign, but within the banks, the term is not called sovereign, it's called privately negotiable rate. It means that if you are somebody with a humanitarian project or your project is creating jobs, these are the reasons, these are the only two reasons, humanitarian project that is creating jobs. These are the only two reasons that you should have a 2 to 3 page of a bullet outline of your plan, okay? A pitch. Not a full-blown business plan, they don't have time, but a simple explanation of what you want to do to improve the world. You have to ask for it, okay? So, to give you an idea of how this would work, I'm going to use six different currencies as examples, okay? Indonesian rupiah, Afghanistan Afghani, Vietnamese dong, Iraqi dinar, Iranian rial, and Zimbabwe ZIM, okay? The Iranian rial, the rial is not talked about much, but that's another big heavy hitter that they're not talking about. I know now that these numbers that I have on here, these numbers have risen quite a bit from what we were told in 2021. So here's an example of the rates and what you're getting for them, okay? So when I say a non-disclosure NDA, that is the sovereign rate or the privately negotiable rate, okay? I just don't want to use it all. I just do the NDA rate. So the front screen, internal public, international public, that's what anybody could go into any exchange rate and get. Back screen negotiable is what the banks see that's not open to the public. Those are for people that are going to do something with their money or they're going to get a higher interest rate or a lot of different things. And then the non-disclosure privately negotiated rate. Not all currencies have the NDAs, the non-disclosure agreement rates. And this is why I'm using these six currencies. So for example, Indonesia, the rupiah, you can expect to see a front screen international public rate of about 10 cents. The back screen negotiable rate will go from 10 cents to $1.08. You can see it's 10 times higher. Afghanistan Afghani, we're expecting a front screen international rate of 20 cents and a back screen negotiable rate of 229. Neither one of these rates offer an NDA rate. So there's no third or fourth rate for it. It's just those two. Now things get interesting. The Vietnamese dong. This is interesting. The front screen international rate has not changed in 3 years. It's 47 cents. Okay. The back screen negotiable rate will be $1 to 250 plus. Okay. The NDA rate, non-disclosure publicly privately negotiated rate, is $20. And there will be a cap on it, but we don't know what the cap is. 47 cents, $1 to 250, $20 cap. That's a major, major swing in money. So if you don't know how to ask for what you're doing, you're not going to get it. You're going to get the back screen negotiated rate. You won't get the NDA rate if you don't know how to ask for it. You're hearing people talk about, oh, with the NDA rates, you know, the high screen rates, this is how high it's going to be. Nobody ever tells you. If you listen to these gurus, they're not telling you what you have to ask for. You can't just say, oh, can I get the NDA rate? They'll look at you like, oh, there's no such thing. That's because you're not saying the magic words. Then the Iraqi dinar. Front screen international rate is expected to be about 371. The back screen negotiable rate, $15 to $16. The non-disclosure agreement rate, the NDA rate, $28 cap. Huge differences. Iranian rial, 371, front screen rate, back screen rate, $15 to $16. Non-disclosure NDA rate, $35. The Zimbabwe ZIM, Front screen international public rate, 3 cents to one. The back screen negotiable rate, 11 cents to 33 cents to one. The NDA rate, $1, 1 to 1. Full parity for Zim. Yeah, that doesn't wet your whistle. I don't know what will. So there's also some other terms, okay, that you need to know. First wave. That's the internet group who knows what to ask for before the media announcement. That's us. We are the Zim holders. They want the Zim holders to show up in the first 48 hours, first 2 days. Call, call. It is very, 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 very important that even if you don't make an appointment for the first, say, the first 9 days, you need to call in the first 2 days, okay? All the other currencies are second to exchange in the first wave. Zim is first, okay? Second wave. That's the public who have currency after the announcements in the media. And the second wave are the people that they refer to that are doing off-site exchange centers. And after those on-site exchange centers, like your banks and that kind of thing. And the second wave will be after the exchange centers are closed. HSBC was designated a long time ago. It may have changed. Might be Wells Fargo, or it might be a military bank. And these are going to be the three lead places, or we suspect these are going to be the three lead places for Zim and project plans with your NDAs. Only very specific places are going to give you NDA rates. You can't walk in and get them anywhere. You have to know where to go. And this is when you call in. This is why they tell you, tell them you have Zim. Tell them you have Zim and you have other currency. Tell them all the names of the currencies. The reason being is there's only a very few, very specific places that are going to be able to handle the Zim, okay? Structured NDA payouts. This is especially going to happen with the Zim. We still believe the structure is going to be 80-20 with personal use of 20% in an NDA. Privately negotiable rates. That is the highest rate you can negotiate without signing an NDA. Okay? An international rate. That's the highest rate offered to the general public with no negotiations and no NDA. And after a certain exchange period of time, these very special, very high, extra high, privately negotiated rates will not be offered. And the second wave centers will be closed. So that's the biggest information you need to kind of keep with you about the rate structures. Okay, so the rate structures, that kind of should guide you on what you're going to do. Okay, so let me find the next piece of information for you that I want to tell you about. Okay. So, if you don't have a pen and pencil, you need to get one right now. Because I'm severely dyslexic and I have to write this on four different pieces of paper just to be able to keep it straight. What I'm about to tell you is can be very confusing. And it will be a lot easier if you write down what I'm telling you, okay? So we have to explain terminology before we go into this, okay? And I struggle with this mightily. So I'm going to just ask for your forgiveness before I start up front, because I may stumble over my words and I will correct myself because I will probably catch it. But I'm just going to apologize before I start, because I'm truly the worst person to be doing this because I'm dyslexic. But here we go. God just said, look, I don't care if you're dyslexic. You do this. Okay, Lord, here we go. So we believe that the SafeLink numbers should only be out for about 7 to 10 days before it goes out to the public, okay? Banks are only going to be used to exchange currency, not ZIM. There is a possibility that that may change, but everything I'm hearing still today, no, banks are not going to exchange ZIM. It's got to go to an RV center, okay? The latest info is that the Tier 5 people, the public people, will not have access to 800 numbers, nor will they be able to exchange ZIM or use the negotiated rates and contracts. They'll only be offered the front screen rates offered by the bank. If the public has ZIM, they may be directed to a redemption center or given 800 numbers if still available. But the chances are likely by that time they will not be. When you go into your RV, do not use the words cash in. I want to cash in my currency. No, because that creates a taxable situation. That you're looking at this as an investment, not as a simple exchange. This is a simple exchange. It should carry no taxable ex situation because you're just exchanging notes. So if you have currency, the money you would use, the word for the money is called the exchange, the notes. If you have ZIM or any kind of other historical bond note, you'd use the word redeem. Part of the reason why I tell you to get all dressed up and pretend like you're doing the RV, practice doing the RV, is so that the words exchange and redeem are easily on your tongue so you can say it with ease when you're in front of the redemption center. If you don't use the right words, there's a possibility you might use the wrong process or they may give you the wrong process and get taxed on a no tax event. So just kind of keep that in the front of your mind, do your best. Redemption rate. Redemption rate is the amount paid for each ZIM dollar. This process is explained better by using the terms redeeming in your bond. Okay, I like to redeem my ZIM and I'd like to exchange my dinar. One's currency, one's a bond. You, as the bearer of the bond, are going to demand payment in cash for the prima facie face value of the bond multiplied by the negotiated rate. That's all it is. That is the redemption process in a nutshell. A quote transaction unquote is required to activate any digital gold certificate in the quantum financial system in the QFS. This redemption process qualifies as a transaction. And this transaction activates the digital gold certificates when put into our accounts. Folks, this is why we are the golden people, okay? Because they cannot start any quantum financial system gold unless there's a redemption. There has to be a transaction. This is why people, when they say, I want to bite my tongue. Actually, I want to scream and go, you freaking idiot. You don't even understand what the hell you're doing. But it takes such great restraint not to say that because what people don't understand is we have to fill those quantum certificates. They want us to go get the highest, biggest rate possible because they want us to redeem trillions and billions and quadrillions of money because we are the key that unlocks this whole rat pile. Okay? That's why they're not you when you go in there, literally walk in with your head up, your shoulders back, because there is no losing this proposition. They want you to know what to say. Because if you know what to say, you're going to open up more gold. The more gold you open up, the more you're going to bless the world. Yeah. And none of these freaking gurus talk about this. They're like, ah, that, 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 that. And I'm like, tell the people the real shit. They never do. They never do. I'm like, I get so irritated. I need to have those, what are those things called? Those sponges, you know, those, foam sponges that you throw at your TV when you really get mad at them. I just want to have the sponges to throw at these gurus when they start talking like this. It's like, you're idiot. You don't even understand what we're doing. We are literally If you don't have goosebumps, you should. We are going to activate the digital gold certificate in the quantum financial system. It's us, people. It's us. How do you think they were going to start counting the money? There has to be a trigger. Boom, boom. Who's the trigger? It's us, folks. Tier 4B is the best. The best, the best, the best, the best. Let's keep going. Term. Term is the number of years you're going to receive a structured payout. 10, 25, 50, or 100 years. You can choose however much you want. It's your choice. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you get an option, the first thing you ask is, what's the longest term? And no matter what they say, take the longest term. Okay? Just remember, if they're going to give you a structured payout, if most people don't know what a structured payout is. Most people have never been paid millions and millions of dollars over multiple years, okay? Because they've never done that, they don't understand what a structured payout is. And everybody goes, oh, I want all my money up front. I want all my money up front. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because the trick is with structured payout, the first payment is the same as if you had no structured payment. And then you get that same payment for the same amount of years. A structured payment is like putting in 50 million and getting 500 million out at the end. Didn't know that, did you? It's badass. Structured payment is the bomb. If you're talking big money, you want a structured payment. So if you even hear that word structured payment, thank you, Ms. Parker, for telling me about structured payment. Hallelujah. I want a structured payment. Just remember those words, okay? I'll explain to you why in just a minute, okay? So, you have other things you need to understand. A primary principle. That is another beautiful word in the English language. Two words in the English language. Primary principle, okay? The primary principle is the figure, the number that you receive from the redemption rate times the number of Zimbabwe dollars you redeem, okay? Don't use the word cash in. It's the amount of dollars of Zim that you redeem, okay? So, what does that mean? I have a $1 trillion, $100 trillion Zim note, okay? So, if my redemption rate is a dollar, I multiply $1 by 100 trillion Zim, and my primary principal is 100 trillion. If my redemption rate is $2 and I multiply it by 100 trillion, my primary principal is $200 trillion. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand what I'm saying, say something right now. Okay, everybody good.
Got it.
Please, 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 please. This is going to get very complex very quickly. If you don't have these base terms, stop this tape, rewind it, and listen to it again. Okay? Second one, secondary principle. Well, of course, it's the second one. The secondary principle is the amount deposited into your structured payout bank account in the QFS at the redemption appointment. This is the total amount you will receive over the term of the structured payout period. Your structured payout payments come out of this account. So the secondary principal is the number that you're going to get every single time you get paid. If your secondary principal payment is $100,000. Every time you get paid, it'll be $100,000. It doesn't change. It's the exact same number, money, every single time you get paid. This is the beauty of what we're doing, okay? Now we're going to talk about interest rate. And this is, oh God, I don't even want to talk about this one because this can mess me up. This is the happy dance part, okay? Because The interest rate that they charge or that they give you is not a traditional APR, okay? It is not. You do not, do not, do not, do not. If they offer you a traditional ask, I'm going to have an interest rate. Is it a traditional APR interest? Remember to ask that. Is it a traditional APR interest or is it a structured payout interest? If they say it's a traditional APR interest, say no, thank you. I don't want that. If they say we can give you a choice of a traditional APR interest or a structured payment, I'd like structured payment, please. Okay? Do not even waver. Do not even waver. The fact that you know the difference is going to tell them you are Tier 4B. You know what you're doing and you have very specific reasons for doing what you're doing. Okay? So, would you like an APR rate or would you like a structured interest rate, structured payout payment? Structured payout, please. What does it mean? How do they determine that interest rate? 10% interest rate on a structured payment means 10% of the primary principal that you will receive at the redemption appointment. This 10% of the primary principal figure is the amount you will receive annually for the term of your structured payout period. So we take $200,000, okay? And you take 10% of that $200,000, it's going to be 200 trillion or whatever it is. And 10% of that is what you get paid. Now, in a traditional structure, in a strict traditional APR, in 10 years or whatever your rate is, you get the percentage, and as you go on and on, the amount of interest you're getting every year is less and less, but the payments are the same. When you add the total amount up, it's going to be like 3 to 1, okay? The reason why you want hang on, let me do this. Hang on. We're going to take a 1 minute break here. I'm gonna take I'm a cannabis grower and I will think a lot better, a lot smarter if I just take a little bit of a break right now. So I'm gonna play one piece of music and then I'm gonna explain this. So we're just gonna take a little teeny tiny break. I'm going to play a piece of music and then I will get right back to it. But give me one little break here and I'll be right back.
When the night and the moon is the only light we'll see. When the night is
Thank you.
So, what's happening with me is that I am dyslexic and I'm having a very hard time stopping the words from spinning. So, I took a couple hits of cannabis because while many people will argue to their death that cannabis is not a medicine, I'll argue that it is. So, my issue is numbers. And I was writing numbers and they are now spinning. So I had to take a little bit of a break to calm my eyes down so I can focus on this so they're not spinning so I can talk to you. So I apologize, but I make no apology. Cannabis is my medicine. Thank you, Lord. So let's talk about the interest rate in a better way. Oh, this is great. What numbers are not moving anymore? Perfect. So you take your $1 trillion Zim bond in at a negotiated rate per Zim dollar, okay? The cash amount you receive, that big lump sum, is called the primary principal. This 10% of the primary principal determines the payment that you're going to get as a structured payout payment. This is your quarterly budget. The interest rate then determines the payout amount. And the term determines how many years you're going to receive the exact same dollar amount of structured payout payments. You can ask for any percentage of primary or principal you want, up to 10%. You have to understand that the primary principal is just a number. You're going to throw that number away, that you don't need it, that you don't need the money, you don't need anything of it. It's just a number, and that number of that figure is to determine all the other necessary decisions that are made under a structured payout. That number does not do anything except figure out one thing: what's your primary principal? And the way you get that number is that is multiplied by the redemption rate by the number of Zim dollars you redeem. Once you get that number does nothing for you except answer every single other question about how you're paid. Okay? Unlike APR, that number changes every month and you got a baby over it. No. You get it once. After you have it, it's done. You don't have to do nothing with it. Okay? So the secondary payment is the amount that the interviewer will code into your QFS structured payment account at your redemption appointment. All of your money comes out of that account. That's the important one, is the secondary account, okay? The secondary principal, that's an account. It's not a number, it's an account. So even though they both call themselves principal, one is a number, the other one is an account. You guys understand that? Anybody not understand this? Anybody have questions? Okay. The fact that you don't have questions just makes me cheer. They get it. This is awesome. Wee. So now, I'm going to say this again. The secondary principal is the funds, the number, the amount that the interviewer puts into your quantum financial system structured payout account. It's the only number that's in that account. It's the only money that's in that account. Okay? That's it. There's nothing else in it. It's only used for one thing. This is the reason why they're telling you you have to have one computer to do your payouts. Those of us that know why understand this is why. Is this structured payout only goes on a single laptop, that nothing ever, ever goes on it. Okay? Because that account is the account that's going to make you cry. That's the account that is going to, and then they tell you what that number is. That's the account that's going to make, the strongest man is going to leak from his eyes. That's the account that will make you think, oh, mother of God, I should have brought depends on. Okay? That's that account. So because that account is so insane, and the reason why I know that that is, account is going to be that insane is because I know you little monsters. I know all of my people in my group. I know what we've done the past 2 years. I know you. And I know you're going to be most incredible humanitarians the world has ever seen. Because we have spent 2 years with our hearts in our hands planning every day. There may be other people that hear this, and I hope that when you walk through this path on how you got here to listening to this recording, that you are lucky enough to have a group of friends go up with you. You all work together. And if you don't have that, whatever group you're in right now, whatever group that you talk to on Telegram, exchange phone numbers, become friends. If they're a group with you in currency, become friends. Because once we go up, you won't be able to reach out to people unless you already know them, because all of us will drop our social media. All of us. There will be no way to get a hold of any of us unless we have each other's information, private information. For those of you that are not in my amazing RV Project Help group, make friends with somebody now, because it's really, really, really lonely if you're the only one on the top of the mountain. I didn't know I was going to say that. Reading this, with the type of dyslexia I have, I lose information. As soon as I read it again or I'm exposed to it again, I remember all of it. It's just a temporary thing, but it's really freaking annoying. So as I'm reading this out to you, it's hitting me really hard what is about to happen. And I'm teasing you guys by saying, this is the amount of money that's going to make you wish you wore depends. This is the amount of money that's going to make you scream until you can't scream no more because you've screamed yourself dry. That's this money. And the thing is I actually know this. So here I am giving you a bad time, and I got tears in my eyes knowing that all of us are about to fulfill our life's goals. All of us are about to be the humanitarians we've always wanted to be, but really didn't think we could. We're all going to do it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, ma'am. I just walked back in.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. I'm not asleep. You thought I was asleep?
No, we had feedback in the room. So you had your mic open. So I closed your mic.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's what I thought you were talking, and then you just accidentally, no problem. But does anybody else feel that?
The tears, yes, absolutely.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just know that there's going to be thousands of other people that are going to hear this that I'm never going to talk to or never going to meet, and they're all going to be doing the same thing we are right now. Pretty cool. So I had to redo this recording. What I'm about to tell you is even bigger. Just understand that the primary principle, the number that they give you, is just a figure to help with all the necessary decisions for your finances for the rest of everything. Once it's determined, you don't need to do anything with it. It's over. The secondary principle is the amount that the interviewer is going to put into your quantum financial system structured payout account. 2 years ago when I did this, I had this information, but I had no idea what a QFS was. I had no idea. And now I have XRP. Now I know what a QFX actually is. So this is so cool to read this the second time around. These notes are just like, dang, I knew so much information that I had no idea I knew. Your annual payments come out of that account, and that is your humanitarian budget for the year. I know this is a lot of information to just drop on you. And it's a kind of a casual way to describe what's about to take place. So they just let us believe what little we need to make our decisions. That's why the documents aren't that big. And then they're going to leave everything else up to the QFS to manage the rest of the results. This all works out for us. It works out the best because a structured payout is the highest way. It allows them to open up 10 times more gold than if they didn't do it this way. It benefits them as much as it benefits us. So I'm not telling you this and pushing this hard on you so that for you, I'm pushing it hard on you for them. Because they know that most of us have no idea that they want us to get as very much money as possible. Because everything we get turns on the gold for everybody else that comes behind us. How cool is that? I swear to God, we are the golden ticket. The Lord has blessed you well, very, very well. I used to think it was so trite, but now it's like, oh my God, we are the chosen ones. Like, I rejected that because I thought that was really pompous, but no, they need us to do this. They need us to ask for as much gold, as much money as you can possibly ask for. When I first did this, I didn't feel this way. When I first did this, I thought, fuck you. I'm going to get a tremendous amount of cash so I can tell these people go pound sand. I'll have enough money that I don't need them. Well, God has apparently had a different plan for me. Because now, I know what the QFS is. Now I know what gold-backed currency means. I didn't get it then when when I wrote this, I had the information, but I didn't grok it. I didn't get it. So now, knowing that the QFS is global and it truly is going to help the world, I don't want to reject getting involved with the QFS to do these major projects, because that's one way I can literally help the world and I get what I want at the same time. I'm selfish. I want my money to help the things I want it to do. And I get both things. How amazing is that? I didn't know this when I did this. But having an understanding of the QFS now, 2 years later, this is like, wow. So they believe that those of us that ask for sovereign rights and know what to say, that we deserve it because we understand what we're about to take on. We understand that there will be literally hundreds of thousands of people's lives depending on us. If you take on a multinational global project, you will be responsible for the lives that you impact. So you're going to have to take a lot of care with that, which means you don't go riding wild Mustang off in the wild blue sunset. If you don't have the absolute ironclad skill set to run this thing that you're about to do, you hire a CEO. You hire a CEO and you tell that CEO, and you find somebody that you get a management company to help you hire them. You tell that CEO you have two jobs. Your first job is going to be a golden parachute job. Your first job is to run this company. Your second job is to teach me how to run this company. And we will negotiate, we will readdress this in 2 years. And if I'm unable to run this company, we need to transition your position into a certain percentage. We'll give you a certain percentage of ownership at that time for doing this. And that is how you protect your people. When you become a humanitarian, with great money comes great responsibility. What I'm talking to you now is responsibility. I didn't know. I didn't see it. I knew it, but I didn't realize it until I understood what the QFS is. You see, I couldn't imagine anything this big when I first wrote this document. So I thought, no, if they get 10% of this, it'll be a big deal. Now I realize, after understanding what the QFS is, this isn't going to be 10%. This is going to be probably 1,000% more than I ever expected. So that is a massive, massive, massive amount of responsibility. So if I'm telling you how to get this kind of money, I have to be responsible to tell you how to protect your people from you with this kind of responsibility, because you don't know. And so because you don't know, you're going to have to make some major, major, major decisions real quick. The first decision is, how deep do you want to do in your project? If you actually want to take the reins onto this, I guarantee you, this will be the most fucking fun you've ever had in your life. This starting a company with no breaks is going to be the most exhilarating thing you'll ever do in your life. because you are going to get to see changes in your lifetime that will affect thousands and thousands of people. So if you're going to do a global project, make sure that you have if you don't have a family wealth, if you don't have a family home office, a personal family home office, get one, start one. Because having a family home office will protect you from hurting your people by doing something. One little change in admin can wreck a lot of people's lives. And you don't want that. You don't want that at all. So you have to hire. You have to hire a CEO to do whatever you're going to do. And their job is to train you. If you are going to be, if you're starting multinational, where you're going two or three countries when you're going to planning on opening at the same time, you get two or three a responsible person from each one of those countries that all report to you. That's your upper management team, okay? You have to do this because when you're on a budget and you're working to build a company, a really big company, you have to go through phases of getting money, getting approval, writing documentation to get whatever you need. Okay? You're not going to do that. No, your life's going to be like a dream. Because before you start, you're going to have a full business plan, okay? You're going to have a detailed, this will be like a 100 to 200 page business plan, okay? You will have people assigned in this business plan to execute each area of their expertise, what they've been hired to do. And then you're going to have people that are making sure that the jobs are done on time and also interviewing to hire, okay? It's going to go that fast. It's going to go that big, that fast. And you've got to get the reins on it from the very beginning, which means you've got to start thinking right now, what are you going to do? Define it. I'm going to be I'm going to pick on Malcolm. I'm going to have a outdoor relaxation tour company where you come on a dude ranch for a week. I'm going to specialize in recreation to, you know, get time off your busy schedule. Okay. So that's what he thought about. Okay. So now you have to figure out how to set up all the facility, how to buy property to get the facility, the size of the property you need, the soils that you need, and how many camping sets are you going to have? Once you get that, that becomes a package, okay? That whole package can be applied to another area and to another area and to another area. So Malcolm wants to do 300 camping facilities in the first year. You can do that with this. That's how aggressive you can be. The only limitation you have is what you can create in your mind. What you're building this in your mind. So you have to be able to speak it to make it happen. So if you don't think I'm going to make a package that's going to do how I get all the infrastructure, all the equipment to build the roads, the lights, the sewer, build all the housing, how many buildings we need to support all this, basically a mini city. And get all the document for that. Once all that's done, it's a cookie cutter. You can take that plan and do it in other states, in other countries. No problem. want to have a recreation camping facility that is going to be used for the foundation. All of us in the foundation, we're going to want to, we're Americans. Most of, you know, most of us are American, or we're with American-based foundations. So when we go off, we're going to want American things or things to recognize, to have a sense of home. So the foundation campsites, they're like a McDonald's, where the inside of the buildings have similar things, so you have that comfort of home, but you're also in the wilderness. So that's a cookie cutter. When you get money in loaning, first you have to get the building, and then you have to build the building. You can't do three or four at once. And then you have to have 2 or 3 years of sales to show that it's a profitable business, okay? And then take those profits to reinvest in another one, and then in another one. No. It's not going to work like that. Once you figure out the prototype, you can build multiple all at once. You don't have to wait 2 years. You go. Because we know that people are hurting. We know that people need mental relaxation. We know that people need physical relaxation. We know the need is there, because most of these places are closed. So there's zero reason, except no money, to not blow and go. That is the same thing that you guys can do with whatever project you're doing. If you want to jump, you're only limited to how high you want to jump. I'm going to set up grows in 3 different countries, in Namibia, South Africa, and Lesotho. And I'm going to set up abrasive mines to do abrasive grinders and such for diamonds in Lesotho, Cote d'Ivory, and Sierra Leone. And I'm going to ship all that stuff up to Europe and sell it into stores that sell, you know, grinders, lathes, that kind of stuff, and make a full international vertical build company, from the diamond mines to the jobs for the abrasives company, to profit, made high profit on the abrasives, and then pull out the jewels that are jewel quality and make diamonds and set diamonds, have jewelers there, raise up the values, allow the people to fund themselves by giving them places to work and turning that money back into their communities. If you want to do this, I want to do this, because once I do one, I can do every single freaking mine. I can do 40 to 100 mines. I don't have to wait 5 years. Apply that, if you want to your project. That's something that sounds like fun. Oh yeah, this will be insane. Absolutely insane. It'll be like running on a wild horse with reins in my hand, no saddle, I'm clamped onto my knees, and everybody's chasing me. It'll be that crazy. But it's about hiring the right staff, getting the right team underneath of you, and then having a team you can trust. So this, how that's going to happen, is we actually have headhunters in our group, okay? We actually know major headhunters. So all of these things can be done for you. However big you want to fly, spread your wings. Do it now. So now let's add the med beds into this whole mess. Okay. How many years are you going to request your structured payout? You are the sovereign humanitarian. That's what your whole identification is going to change to, because you're going to be doing these international events, okay? Or national events. There is a lot more to these funds that is generally known. And there's a lot of information that is given and then changed, and a lot of people think that they're messing around, but I think as time goes by, there's adaptations have had to be made with the changes in what's gone on in the world. You must ask for a higher back screen rate for Zim. Market negotiable, no NDA, or NDA business plan rates, because the bank will not offer them to the public. There is some other information. Okay. Let's talk about rate decisions, okay? So in 2021, we had a lot of talking. We talked a lot about rate decision. And none of us then, I mean, I didn't know Brian then. I didn't know any of the hotshot guys in here that, I mean, Brian's not the only hotshot that knows about currency, but I always talk to Brian because he's fun to talk to and he's always here. And I love Brian. So, because we didn't understand what the QSF was actually going to do, it didn't really come in the forefront of our thinking, you know? So I want to tell you that before I give you this information, because now I feel like kind of an asshole. But we didn't know. And we've had our experience up until that time was that if you let the banks get involved in your banking, you might as well just cut your, you know, they're going to just take everything you got. If you let the government tell you how to run your project when that's what you do for a living, I mean, I've personally seen what happens when people who don't know a thing about growing cannabis tell me how to grow cannabis. Okay, so I know that's a recipe for disaster. So because of that, my feeling was, I don't want to sign an NDA rate. I'm willing to take the back screen rate, not the $22, but the $5, $4, the much lower one. And the reason being is like I said, I've had so much experience with the government getting in my business and then they just destroy my business. So that's how I was looking at my rates. So what people asked me, what we were asking about back then was, is there a reason or a circumstance that I might want to just take the screen rate? Is there a reason or a circumstance I might want to take, you know, the sovereign rate? So these were the decisions, situations that we came up with and why we picked what we picked. So let me give that to you. So ask yourself the following questions to get a feel as to what kind of return you're looking for when you do your exchange. So the rate you agree with your bank will depend on your negotiating skills, okay? And the more currency you have, or the better your skills are, the higher rate you should expect to receive. So before you go in there, you should have a rate strategy in place. You should know exactly which rate you're going to ask for. So if you don't know yet, then these situations can help you focus more on your personal situation and not just the amount of money, because there's actually two things that come into this. There's different issues, good, bad, on each of these things. So ask about each of the front and back screen rates. That means the international, the negotiated, the non-NDA, and the high sovereign negotiated NDA rates with a business plan. And then get a feel to what you think you want to do. Okay, so here we go. Your situation is this. I only have a little bit of currency, so I want to take the international or the market rate and take the money and run, get a nice profit. So they're not planning on using this. Their strategy was not to use this as a change of life, just a boost in the quality of life. They're going to get just a couple hundred dollars and be a couple thousand dollars or $100,000 and they're happy. That was their whole strategy. The second one is, all this information stuff is making me uncomfortable. I think I will take the international or the market rate and feel comfortable knowing I made a nice gain or a nice profit. You don't want to have these chains on you. So you just like, I'm going to get the littlest and get out of here and get gone. I am not a greedy person, so I will take the international or the market screen rate and run with the cash. That's the mid-size weight. I really have not been reading the updates and I don't really know what to do. So I'm just going to take the international or the market screen rate with the bank C and be happy. I have a few personal projects that need funding. I have ZIM and other currencies, but the whole processes and the NDAs scare me big time. So I am going to ask for the sovereign negotiable rates, non-NDA. I do have a ZIM and other currencies, but the whole processes and the NDAs scare me big time too. So I am going to ask for the international rate, that's the market screen rate on everything. That's the lowest. I don't have any ZIM, but I have a large amount of other currencies. So I think I will negotiate the best sovereign screen rate that I can get. I can keep my mouth shut and I'm okay with an NDA. That's the highest rate. I don't have any ZIM, but I do have a lot other of the first basket currencies. I think I'm going for the high sovereign rate, negotiable rate, as I would like to do some small humanitarian projects. And I'm okay with an NDA. So that's the highest rate possible. I have lots of ZIM and lots of other first basket currencies. I have a large number of humanitarian projects I want to do. I will ask for the high sovereign negotiable rate. I know I'll be signing an NDA. And the last one, I have all of the first basket currencies. I think I will ask if I can do both. Use the ZIM rate for the humanitarian products with projects with an NDA, and the other currencies I will use for market fixed screen rate with no NDA. That way I'm covered both ways. You'll have a huge pile of money and then have a long-term structured payout as well. So how do you talk? What do you say? Introduce yourself and any others that you have with you to the tellers. You introduce yourself with first and last name. They answer any questions the teller asks you in full. do not ask the teller about the exchange of the money. And then ask the teller when it's at the end if there's any more questions that you need answered. Is there anything else you need to know? And at that point, at some point, they're going to either ask you for, or you can give to the teller your cover letter and your business plan. And you're going to talk about your business plan budget in detail. You will, at some point, you are going to be asked what rate you want. So you are going to have to choose one or more of the different rate packages that I explained to you, the way they pay the rates out. So you have to make that decision before you go in there. They are going to know that you are not Internet 4 if you don't have that answer. You're not prepared. So knowing that answer, what rate structure do you want? And they ask you what rate structure, and most people are going to have, they're going to be still running around having chicken fits and hyperventilating from knowing the numbers, okay? But not you. You know this is coming. So you already know, you've already figured out what rate you're going to do and how you're going to do your, how you're going to get your payouts, okay? So as soon as they ask you what rate structure you want, you have an answer for them, okay? And I'm going to ask if I can have a blend of structures, because I want some under NDA and some not under NDA. It doesn't matter. I want some under non-NDA because I don't want to make any kind of mistakes. But if I do make a mistake, I still want to have some damn money. I don't think I'm going to blow my NDA. I've been very, very good with ones that I've had before. So I don't think I will, but I just want insurance. So that's why I'm asking for a blend of currencies. Okay. So there's four currency rates. Okay. The international rate, the market rate, the sovereign rate, non-NDA, and the higher sovereign negotiable rate, NDA. Those are the four rate structures. Okay. You might say something like, I would like fair market value for my currency. I would like higher sovereign rate for my currency. Okay. Whatever you think you would, whatever you are, figure out. That's, figure it out and know what you're going to say before you go in there. That's what I'm trying to say. You can also ask to see the screen rates. Can I see the bank screen rates? You can ask to see that. And then take a little notepad with you, like a little 3x4 inch pad, and write the rates down as they're talking, because what's going to happen is by the third rate, you're going to be so mixed up, you won't remember one from the other. So write them down. It just takes a second and it's easy to do. It's not going to be a huge, massive number. And if it is a huge, massive number, only write the first two numbers and to hell with the rest. You don't need those. Too hard to figure that out anyway. Okay. So what you do is you have, actually, I should try to find this and print it for you or put it out there for you. You should have little cards or on your pages, the same thing. So you should international screen rate and the screen rate offered, market rate and the screen rate, market rate offered, sovereign rate, non-NDA rate, and what they are offering, because those numbers are different sometimes, and the higher sovereign negotiable NDA rate, screen rate, and write each for each one. Ask what each of your currency rates are. Ask to see them on the screen. And if you have a lot of currency in one note and you don't think you were offered a good rate, then ask to see the bank's green rate schedule. Okay? Currency. Talk about the ZIM you hold. The way you say this is this. I understand sovereign rates of $1 to $2 per each ZIM in 100 TZIM have been given out. You may not get that number, but it's always a good strategy in negotiation to start out with the highest number. So $2 to one, that's pretty ballsy. That's a good start. It should be. And this is a whole different conversation. It's a big conversation. Let me see the other thing. Hold on a minute. I've got some other things. Okay. So, is it on this? Hold on. I'm trying to. Okay. We've been given these funds to do the right things for humanitarians, and we have specific things that we want to do in our hearts. So structured payouts are essential for us to receive the money that we need for this entire process. So I'm requesting this rate. That's one way to do it. There's another. That's not what I'm actually looking for. I'm looking for another document. Dang it. Here we go. This is the exact sentence. I found them. This is so important. I put it in a little email to myself and I never sent it. I just put it in so I could find it in the drafts. Here's the sentence, okay? I understand that from my private banking contacts, that because of the size and scope of my project, my multi-generational longevity of my projects, and the amount of jobs that I will be creating due to this, we are eligible to ask for the privately negotiated back screen rate of 1 to 1 for ZIM. I urge you to put that sentence in a way that's easy for you to say and allow it to roll off your tongue. And practice saying that. Key parts of this are, you use the word private banking contacts, okay? I'm gonna tell you what has to be in this sentence. You can say it any way you want, but these words, these are the keys. Private banking contacts. Size and scope of project. Multi-generational longevity. and jobs. Those are the words that you have to say. Those are the trigger words. Those are the words that I've been told from multiple connections that open up those crazy high rates. Because those are the things that tell them that you really are working and planning on being a humanitarian, and you took the time and the effort to fucking find one of us. And he said it just like that. He said, before you say that, there may be a possibility that they're going to take 11% off of the top for them to add into humanitarian projects if you don't want to do something, if you don't want to be involved with theirs. Like, they want you to be involved with theirs. No, I'm not doing that. So what you can say is, please, sir, ma'am, I'm requesting that my Zim redemption not be reduced by 11% for the collection of executive order projects, since I am submitting my own humanitarian project for approval. This is one of the other things I was told. They didn't know if this was going to be in this by the time we RV'd or not. There, at that point in 2021, there was talk back and forth from, you know, we don't know, it's what we were told. What do we know about any of this? But we were told that this talk was going back and forth, but it was never resolved. So to this day, I don't know if they're going to ask for 11% to go into a collection to go into the executive order for humanitarian projects. But I have a feeling that is, would you stop that? It's okay. It's okay. Oh my God. Hold on, folks. I'm here. I see. That scared you, huh? Come on. Look. Come here.
Are you a chicken? Are you a little chicken baby? Huh? Is that thing fell and it scared you? You thought that, you know, just the devils of the 80s were going to come through the wall?
So brave. Not at all. Here you go. Here's a great little girl. I have a baby. She has fur. So if they do that, ask to take it off. And say, because ask for them to take off 11% if they tell you they're going to do it, okay? And then the reason why you're asking it is because you're going to do your own project. And then I understand that whole letter, that whole thing. Make sense? Anything else? I have so many notes here. There's 34 pages of notes here. Like, really? Seriously? What were you thinking, Miss Parker? Okay, let's talk a little bit about your NDA. Yeah, but this might be good for you. Take your time. Don't let them rush you. They usually want to get you to sign an NDA really quick. They take the time to understand what your NDA is, because really this is going to be the most important business meeting you're ever going to have in your life. You want to make sure you understand what you can and cannot say, okay? Be patient. Be calm. be controlled and be firm. Not rude, not mean, just firm, okay? Ask, may I please see the official agreed exchange rates on your screen before going to the NDA? Ask, don't demand anything. Ask how long the silence to not talk about the NDA is for. If you have an NDA offered to you, if you don't have an NDA offered to you, don't ask anything about it. Be worried about forms that they want you to sign, and because they do it all electronically now, you know. So get copies or ask for printouts of what you're about to sign. And then have these printouts initialed and every page to certify the in a wet ink that your printout is indeed what I'm signing electronically. And take that home. But ask for that. They may decline. Don't just accept that if they're not gonna let you do it. But it doesn't hurt to ask. Ask for a clean copy of the NDA for your wealth manager. When you make your appointment, don't do that. Ask for a clean copy of NDA for your wealth manager. Knowing as things has changed now, I don't know if that's going to be possible. Read your contracts, such as the NDA and the bank agreement, from back to front for easier clarity. Ask if a bank contract of any sort is applicable, and make sure you get in writing, if I sign this NDA, how may I speak about this exchange? You need that in exact writing. And again, how long do I have to remain silent? The bank answer is written on your contract. Whatever they say, have them write it on the contract and have them initial it, so that covers you. Other people know I have currency already, so how do I handle that once I sign the NDA? And then whatever the bank answer is, have that in your contract and have the bank initial it. Does signing this NDA or bank contract make me a partner in the bank and liable for the debt? They need to say no. So you need to read everything and understand, especially the last page. And if they see, at that time we thought that you were going to be assigned a wealth manager. I don't know if that's going to happen now. So this kind of, I don't know if this is going to happen now. But if you have a wealth manager, then confirm with the wealth manager. Make sure there's no hidden negatives. Make sure it's safe to sign the NDA. And then make sure the bank writes into the NDA and signs all the agreements made from the questions above. You want to have cashier's checks or some kind of checks, or maybe it's just a special bank card, something that you have access to funds. Ask if a wealth manager is going to be provided by the bank. And if so, set a follow-up appointment if you can before you leave. If you can't set up a follow-up appointment, then ask when is your next appointment. If possible, ask for business cards from everybody at your exchange. The other thing you need to remember to ask for is a blank NDA, so you can take with you to have your CPA and your attorney sign. When you first deposit your money, ask for a special deposits in a private off-ledger account. Custodial accounts are secure and they cannot be stolen by the bank for a bail-in action. It's not their money. Just beware that the bank is going to require a written contract to define the terms of the special deposit. And the special deposit is non-interest bearing. That's the only way you can protect yourself from the bank taking the money. If they have a bail-in, it has to be non-interest bearing. You know, all this stuff may change now that we know what the QFS is. We didn't know back then. So I had information here from what I understood back then, but I didn't know what the QFS was. There was not enough information about it for me that I had access to in 2021. Anyway, I think I basically covered everything. Talked a lot. Kind of melancholy, kind of excited. It's been, I'm sure for all of us that are going through this, it's been really difficult. But when you look back at this time, this will be the greatest moment of your life. This will be your finest moment. God bless you, Patriots. God bless you, one of all. This is Miss Parker from our RV Project Help. I can't wait for us to all get started. Thank you, God.